Hi, everybody. Thank you for being a part of Retail Online Integration's inaugural webinar week, Christmas in July, Preparing for the Holiday Season. My name is Melissa Campanelli, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief of Retail Online Integration and the host of today's live webinar. Today's session is called 5 Ways to Avoid Shopping Cart Abandonment This Holiday Season. Before we get going, however, I'd like to take a second to thank our sponsor, Stevo Systems, the strategic information management company that provides technology and solutions that enable organizations to manage their strategic information on a global scale through an integrated process. Please stay tuned at the end of the hour for a special freebie from Stevo Systems, put together just for webinar attendees. Back to the webinar. Did you know that 7 out of every 10 customers abandon their online shopping carts? And that in the weeks leading up to the peak season, the shopping cart abandonment rate skyrockets as customers anticipate holiday offers? Well, it's true. So how do you reduce shopping cart abandonment and ensure online shoppers buy from you over the peak period? This is what we will be discussing today in this informative webinar with our guest speaker, Charles Nichols, a leading industry expert on online buyer behavior and founder of CY, a real-time shopping cart recovery company. Charles will review techniques e-tailers can use to counteract the buyer behaviors behind cart abandonment. Today you'll learn 5 techniques to win more business this peak season, key price points to trigger abandonment, top promotional tactics for holiday season 2012, and what customers really want. For those of you that are new to our live webinars, let me point out a few quick tips on how to make the most of your experience today. First, if you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console, marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's speaker. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so that you can use all of the widgets and bells and whistles on this console. And speaking of bells and whistles, please click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console do and how you can customize your experience today. Well, without further ado, here to discuss shopping cart abandonment, welcome Charles Nichols.
Well, thanks very much. That's quite a billing. So we're going to have some fun today, and really what we're going to do is we're going to look at some data. And I'm going to try and weave the data into a story, and from the story, and then I'm going to come out with 5 tips. And really where this has come from is this has come from the analysis of a huge amount of e-commerce data from the last 3 or so years, looking in particular what happens in the run-up to holiday season and how buyer behavior changes. So, Stephanie, if we could move on to the sort of about slide, that would be great. So just a little bit about me, just so you understand who I am and where I'm coming from, this chap with a strange English accent. I write a lot for various different publications, as you'll see up there. So I blog a lot, and I write for leading publications, including things like Mashable and ClickZ and Practically Commerce and the like. I also spend a lot of my day job in analyzing data. So my company, which I founded, is a shopping cart recovery service where we help people recover abandoned shopping carts. And it's really from that data, and we analyze something in the region of around about $1 billion annually in e-commerce revenues, that we can determine some of the patterns and behaviors of customers in the run-up to the holiday period. We do that all through this educational brand, which is called Conversion Academy, which I run, and that's really the hat effectively that I'm wearing today. In terms of my topics, if we want to move on to the agenda, then in essence I'm going to look at this as a brief introduction to the subject, followed by a bit of a deep dive into what shopping cart abandonment is, and looking at data in particular. Then we're going to look at what customers really want, rather than necessarily what they say they want, what they actually want. And then finally, 5 techniques to build more business. So these are sort of tactical things you've still got time to do, which hopefully will help you deal with this persistent abandonment problem in your environment. Plenty of time for Q&A afterwards, and Q&A is always a lot of fun, so please do ask your questions using the question facility in your panel, and we'll try and get to those as we go through. So let's move on and look at abandonment rates, because one of the things which is interesting is that abandonment rates have been going up consistently. And this isn't just related to the holiday period, but this is overall. Annually, irrespective of whose numbers you look at, these are, in fact, CY numbers, but across everybody's numbers, the abandonment rate is going up. And yet, you know, customers are more familiar with shopping online. It's not new anymore. We've made collectively huge improvements to cart processes. We've taken out unnecessary steps. We've run multivariate tests and A-B tests to make them more intuitive. You know, we've gone through the sort of the don't make me think phase and try to make it completely blindingly obvious so that even your granny can do it. And yet, despite that, abandonment rates are going up. So one question that is well worth asking is, well, why? Why is that? And really the answer is that customers have got used to the ability to store items in their cart for later purchase, almost using it as a shopping list. The web is so complicated that there are so many different places that we might be able to buy a particular item from, or choice of different items, that having found one that we're interested in, we then tend to put it in a shopping cart because we've got used to that permanent shopping cart facility, which allows us to store items and then find them again easily. So it's a utility really used by customers, and this is the primary explanation why abandonment rates are increasing. In parallel with that, of course, we've got discount-seeking behavior. And as customers have become savvier and the markets have become tougher, then competition has increased, and ultimately they can put things in a shopping cart whilst they shop around and try and find a better deal. So it's a combination of those two things which are really important. First thing, of course, is that that means that you should make sure that you have a persistent cart and that your persistence is set to a long period. I usually recommend something like 60 or 90 days. It's a real freebie kind of quick change to make the change to do that. But if your shopping cart is only set to expire at something like 24 hours, then that's a very easy one to make a change to. Now let's move on and look at abandonment rate. And the pattern leading up to Cyber Monday. And this is last year's pattern and what happened. I mean, overall, if you look at the graph, you can see that the trend throughout the year is generally up, obviously with some ups and downs and some mountains and valleys. But in essence, over the last few years, there's been a pattern where after Labor Day up until Cyber Monday, the abandonment rate has risen steadily. And there's not much we can do about this. I think this is just a fact of life. Whilst overall the average for 2011, you know, was 72% of people who placed items in their shopping cart, you know, by the time you reach up to just before Cyber Monday and over that period, then the abandonment rate would be significantly higher. And we can see that in a little bit more detail on the next slide. And I sort of break this down into sort of three different areas. There's a waiting period where customers have become trained to expect holiday promotions. So after the Labor Day sales, then what happens is they go into a waiting period, and then a researching period kicks off. And the researching, you can see in particular at weekends, all the spikes tend to happen at weekends, reaching a peak of almost 9 out of 10 items put in a shopping cart getting abandoned, which is an all-time high, and then eventually dropping beginning to drop once the Black Friday sale season kicks off. So what can you do about this, given that there are these phases? There's a waiting phase, a research phase, and a buying phase. I mean, of course, there's not much really that we can do about the fact that customers got trained to expect holiday offers and therefore are going to wait, but maybe there are some tactics that we can use, and that's partly what we're going to talk about today. The next slide really just summarizes some of the data points from 2011, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but just to give you a flavor and a refresher, given that we're now planning for Holiday 12, what were we seeing in Holiday 11? Well, first of all, sales were up, but the average order values were down It was a tough market, heavy discounting, heavy price promotions last year. There's also a continuing trend of free shipping. 64% of transactions in Thanksgiving week had free shipping. So we would expect that that's risen consistently over the last few years. We would expect that to continue to rise again this year. So free shipping definitely needs to be a big part of the picture. We also saw a dramatic rise in mobile sales, up to 9.8% of the total, which is absolutely huge given the challenges still of transacting and making purchases on mobile devices. And we also saw a shopping cart abandonment rate averaging 85% in the run-up to Cyber Monday. Two other factors which I think are relevant, 70% of transactions went to the top 25 sites, so there's increasing concentration amongst the biggest sites. Now, if you're one of the top 25 sites, then that's fantastic news, but for the vast majority of people on this call, I suspect you're probably not, then that obviously is that concentration is of concern. And we're going to look at the concentration and what you can do about that and why that concentration happens. And one of the alarming statistics also which came out at the end of last year is that during holiday season, 60% of people went first to Amazon to establish a target price. So if you're selling the same product as is sold on Amazon, then you've really got to do something a little bit special. I mean, obviously, the price is going to be really critical when it comes to that. But the fact that 60% go there first is really, really alarming. If you're unless you're Amazon, I guess. If you're Amazon, then it's good news. So the next slide, this really just reflects the purchase funnel. And obviously, you're all very familiar with this, but lots of traffic comes in. Most people don't buy. But the key questions which we really need to answer are, well, why do visitors actually buy? You know, why do they buy from a particular merchant versus another? What are the motivations? And obviously the converse of that is, well, why do 72%, you know, 85% in the run-up to the holiday period last year, why do they abandon the shopping cart? What are they doing? What are the motivations? And what can you do about it? So let's look at that next. And on the next slide, that just takes us into the topics. And really what I want to focus on is let's try and understand the problem of shopping cart abandonment in a bit more detail specifically, and then we can start getting into the tactics. So the next slide really talks to why shoppers abandon their shopping carts in the first place. And this study is from Forrester. It's probably around about 18 months out of date now, so it's slightly old, but it is probably the most definitive one there has been for some time. Forrester interviewed just about 3,000 consumers in the U.S. to try and understand, first of all, how prevalent the problem of shopping cart abandonment was. 89% of people said that they had abandoned a shopping cart, no surprise. But also, what were the factors causing it? And these kind of studies have been done over many years, and what, of course, is consistent is that really the cost of shipping and handling is the number one problem and has been for a long time. And that won't be a surprise to you, but perhaps you can look at linking together these top five causes into either a price objection, of which shipping and handling is a major factor, or the fact that somebody's not yet ready to buy. I was not yet ready to purchase the product. Obviously, that's why I might store it in my cart. So those two objections are the key things that we need to think about. Shipping and handling is going to be really important, and then there's a price objection and a timing objection. Now, when we think about the price objection first on the next slide, what this really shows is that the value of the cart has a really important bearing on the abandonment rate. It's one of the factors. It's not the only one. We're going to look at talk about specific products and how specific products can be abandoned at different rates as well later on. But certainly when we're thinking about price, it's not just shipping and handling. The value of the cart's really important too. And in general, there is a pattern where the more expensive the cart, then the higher the abandonment rate, as you would expect. But as this chart shows, where the value of the cart is low, then the abandonment rate can be significantly higher. This is really a function of where you've got the proportion of the overall costs to the consumer, if the shipping and handling costs are too high, so let's say if they're over about 20%, then immediately that will cause the abandonment rate to spike. So on particularly low-value orders, then this can be quite important. And it may well be worth looking at that specifically to see if that's a factor for you. If we advance to the next slide, then what we can see from there is that if we expand on that area, so there is these first two bars show a downslope effectively, and what you can see is that there is a spike in the shopping cart abandonment rate specifically at around about the $100 mark. And this is very relevant because when you move from two digits, $99, to $100, the difference is more than $1 in perceived value. So from a consumer's point of view, $100 is a lot more than $99, even though logically we know that that's not the case. Now, the impact of this is kind of relevant. In particular, if you're using minimum order free shipping, it suggests that you shouldn't do $100 minimum order free shipping, but you should do $99 free shipping. And it's kind of obvious why that is because if the cost of shipping and handling takes the order value over that critical threshold, and all of a sudden it's now three digits rather than two digits, then you're going to see a spike in abandonment as a result. Now, the same thing applies as you go up around about the $250, $300, $350 marks as well. So, again, if your minimum order free shipping was going to be at $150 or something of that order, then $149 is going to work a little bit better. So think about the cart value because that is important too. Now, let's look on the next slide about timing. And, we said that price and timing are important. Last year, we analyzed a huge number of e-commerce transactions. I think for this study, the total sample size was in excess of 600,000. And in this one, it's slightly smaller than that, 179,000, something like that, really so that we could segment out when people abandon a shopping cart, what they're doing and what their behavior is. And we broke out three distinct segments, a one-time abandoner, a serial abandoner, and then somebody who is an abandoner following a purchase. And the behavior patterns of each of those groups is fundamentally different and is very interesting because it's quite revealing in terms of what's actually going on with the individual. So a one-time abandoner, an abandoner overall, I mean, they sound like they're bad people, don't they? Sounds like somebody has abandoned a child. I've left a child, and all of a sudden I've got to be a bad person. But in fact, the one-time abandoner you see there, the recovery rate, if you remarket to them, you can get back about 18%. But by the time you get to a serial abandoner, somebody who's abandoned more than once in a 28-day period, then the recovery rate goes up to 48%. So almost one in two of those you can get back. So what you can conclude from that is that if somebody abandons multiple times, in fact, that is a signal of intent. And the more that they abandon, the more likely they are to make a purchase. And this really is another way of looking at the fact that customers are not yet ready to buy. So if I'm not yet ready to buy, I'm going to abandon, and then I'll have a think about it, and then I can get myself ready. But if you can get them back to the site to abandon again, even if they don't make a purchase at that point, then statistically you are 2.6 times more likely to get a sale than you would if they only came the first time and only abandoned once. So what this tells you is that, in fact, a serial abandoner, rather than being a very, very bad person who's left lots of children abandoned all over the place rather than just one, you think they'd be really bad, these guys are, in fact, your best prospects. So the more somebody abandons, the more, in fact, that they are showing you a signal of intent. So let's move on, and let's look at one other dimension as well, which is the overall importance of larger transactions. As we saw from the cart value stuff, as the cart value goes up, then the abandonment rate is going to go up too. And, not surprisingly. But when you look at the number of transactions that are involved with, say, over $100, that's only 36% of transactions. But in terms of e-commerce revenues as a whole across the market, order values of greater than $100 represent 76% of e-commerce revenues overall for the market. So higher value orders are really important. And the challenge here is that as the abandonment rate goes up for higher value transactions, then you end up with more of a problem because people are going to take longer to buy naturally, but they need more reassurance, more nurturing, and they're going to be more price sensitive. They're going to take time to shop around. It's going to take more visits to the site before they're then ready to purchase. So the goal undoubtedly is to try and mirror whatever you do into that. And on the next slide, you see what happens when you layer remarketing into that, because remarketing allows you to get people back to the site. Let's put this into numbers just for a moment. If you take a first-time visitor, the probability of getting a sale from a brand new visitor to the site is 0.25 of 1%. It's absolutely minuscule. If you can get them back to the site, even if they don't put anything in their cart, just get them back to the site for a second time, then it goes up ninefold. Now, whilst a lot of people focus so much on that new traffic, there clearly has to be a thinking, which is how can we get them back to the site? And obviously, if we can get them back to the site, how can we make it easy? This is why making it very easy for people to store things in wish lists and to have that permanent cart there is really important, because you just make it easy for them to come back and find the stuff again very easily. You see the impact in this chart, really, which just shows that what happens where remarketing is used is that a huge proportion, 45% of sales over the $100 mark, are recovered following remarketing, which is just a massive number. It just goes to show how, you know, a sequence of nudges can work quite well to get people to come back and purchase. Okay, so that is quite a lot of data. So let's just try and summarize that on the next slide. Because I recognize I've thrown a lot of numbers at you and you're trying to get your head around it all. Obviously, you can get copies of all these slides. You can download them using the panel. Or if you're not sure how to do that, then ask one of the team and they'll tell you how to do that. So let's summarize the data. First of all, customers abandon, one, because of price, of which the largest element is the cost of shipping and handling, and two, because they're not yet ready to buy. Secondly, higher-value carts get abandoned much more than lower-value carts, not surprisingly, because bigger purchases need more time. The more people come back to the site, the more likely they are to buy, and therefore, statistically, your return visitors are going to be your best prospects in one form or another. And higher-value carts contribute significantly more, or three-quarters of e-commerce revenues or thereabouts. And the biggest impact that remarketing is going to have is going to be on the larger carts. Okay, so that, I think, is a lot of data for you to digest. Now, let's move on. On the agenda slide next, you see, let's talk about what customers really want. So, what do they really want? On the next slide, what would you choose? Now, this is a study done a little while ago, I think by some guys at Sloan. Absolutely fascinating. When you look at this in the cold light of day, if you're offered either $10 off or free shipping, which is worth $6.99, any rational human being is going to go for $10 off, right? It's kind of really logical. Unfortunately, what happens is the magical word free just stands out. It grabs my eyes. I can't help but look at that word free. It's so compelling. And as a result, more people choose a $6.99 value free shipping offer than would choose $10 off. Free is free. It's just fantastic. And free shipping is, you know, number one cause of shopping cart abandonment. So it's clearly really important. Also, if you run this test and you do the same thing and you look at maybe 10% off, and maybe I've got a cart value of $100, then my 10% is equivalent to my $10 off. What would you choose then? In fact, if it's $10 versus 10% off, then more people will choose the $10 than the 10%. Maybe that's because they don't have to work for it. They don't have to figure out what 10% is. They probably haven't got an even $100. They maybe have got, you know, an odd number to calculate. And whilst, you know, 10% is fairly easy to do, if you give them 15%, then they've really got to work at it. And whilst all of us here no doubt can work out what 15% of 100 is, that's easy, you're making them work. You're making them think. If you've not read that book, Don't Make Me Think by Steve Krug, then go read it, because that is a phenomenal book, which will help you absolutely in this space. Don't make them think. So of the 10% versus $10 versus free shipping, they'll choose free shipping every time. That's interesting, of course, because whilst we use free shipping extensively as a promotional technique in e-retail, we probably use the 10% off or the percentage discount most frequently, largely because it's so easy to do, and yet it's probably the least effective because people have to work at it. So fascinating study, really getting into what people actually want. Now let's move on to the next slide, because this is a study done by the e-tailing group, which asked customers which promotions you value most in e-commerce, and no surprises there. Free shipping comes out, unconditional free shipping, followed by free returns. Now, difficult to do. Undoubtedly, these are expensive to do and certainly very difficult to do year-round. But there is a general trend in the industry towards this, largely because customers don't understand why they have to pay for shipping in the first place. Now, you and I all understand exactly why they have to pay, but they don't, because they can go to the store, and if they go to the store, you've had to ship the goods to the store, and therefore you've got the shipping cost, but they don't go to the store, get to the checkout, and have to pay extra all of a sudden for the shipping and handling cost to have got it to the store. So psychologically, consumers have a problem with paying for free shipping. Free returns, by the same token, you know, they want the convenience of being able to get it back easily. And free returns are, to some extent, it's not just about the money, it's about the hassle. I don't want the hassle. And this comes down to experience, and we're going to talk about experience with particular retailers and the influence that can have in a moment. So that's really what customers want, and of course it's kind of hard to give them that. On the next slide, we look more specifically at what influences people to choose one merchant over another, and of course price is absolutely up there, followed by past experience. This comes back to the hassle, because sometimes when you make purchases, things go wrong. But if the return experience is seamless and fantastic, then that generates a loyalty which is really hard to argue with. For example, I will only now ever buy Hewlett-Packard printers, at least at home, simply because I had one go wrong. I filled in the form online. They made it really easy to find. It wasn't hidden. And then within 2 days, they had a new one at my doorstep. They invited me to unpack it. The guy waited whilst they packed it into the box, and away it went. I mean, what phenomenal service. As a result, I'm a brand loyal Hewlett-Packard printer guy. I have no connection with Hewlett-Packard, by the way. But by the way, I've just told all of you about it, so I've advocated Hewlett-Packard printers. So undoubtedly, you know, past experience is really important. A study down here was done by guys at PwC, and in fact, they were studying the effects of online loyalty. And their conclusion was that loyalty programs are the least significant element to loyalty. In fact, experience with the brand is the most important thing. So those miniature moments that create that aha, wow, these guys are fantastic, that is so much better than the hassle I expected, you know, that then generates, you know, that loyalty towards that particular merchant. Okay, so let's move into the final section. So let's have a look now at the five techniques. So I've tried to paint a story using lots of data about what people really want, why they abandon, what the challenges are, and what happens in the run-up to the holiday season. Everybody gets a bit crazy. They anticipate the best deals coming out. What can you do about it, given all of these environmental conditions that are going on? So let's look at the five. And the five tactics are as follows. So first of all, won't surprise anyway, find a way to ship it for free. I'm going to talk about the different periods, the what you do in the when people are waiting, what you do when people are researching, and what you do when people are buying. And you may want to use different combinations of shipping tactics in those different periods. So we're going to look at the different models you can use. I know it's tough. I'm sure all of you have got free shipping at some point in your holiday tactics. Hopefully we can throw in a few other ideas that can help you think about what you could do perhaps to bring sales earlier. So when people are in the waiting period, can you get some sales then? Can you get sales when they're in the researching period rather than just cramming it all into that frantic period at the end. And then secondly, we're going to look at give them promo codes. I've got some specific ideas and techniques there, or examples, I should say, of how you can use promo codes and why they're important. Thirdly, we're going to look at the product detail page and some tips on the product detail page of things that you can do. As we mentioned earlier on, different products have very different abandonment rates. Some products get abandoned much more than others. They're not all equal. So we're going to look at that specifically in the context of the product detail page. And then we're going to touch on mobile. Mobile is really important, as you saw. 9.8% of sales last year, probably 15, maybe higher than that this year, growing importance. It's also really important not just from the absolute sales numbers, but also because of the pattern and trend of researching on mobile devices, in particular tablets, and then purchasing online later on a desktop computer. So the research and then buy on a different platform is even more significant. And then finally, remarketing. We've touched on it a little bit today, but I'm going to talk specifically about how you can use remarketing techniques when people do abandon in that run-up period. Okay, so let's look, first of all, at number one, find a way to ship it for free on the next slide. Now, as we said earlier on, 64% of transactions last year got abandoned. 64% of transactions during the Thanksgiving week came with free shipping. So that's a big number. It's going to be bigger this year, I'll bet you. I'm not going to bet you exactly what it is, but it's going to be big. Now, don't forget that there are multiple methods of offering free shipping. You can obviously do the, free shipping on everything. Okay, fantastic. If you want to have it as an overnight service, then that's paid and that's a premium. Don't forget also you can have membership schemes. So, for example, Amazon Prime is well known where you pay a fee and then all of your shipping is free. Equally, there are loyalty programs as well. Go and look at what Columbia Sportswear does. Columbia Sportswear basically says, join our loyalty program, give us a few details about yourself, and then free shipping on everything. So another option. The third option is perhaps the one that you should be looking to run in particular from Labor Day onwards. Now, you may well be offering free shipping on everything in the Thanksgiving week or from Cyber Monday onwards or wherever your starting point is. The holiday offers tend to get rolled out on around about the 6th or 7th, something like that, and that's when they start kicking off and you see the transaction volume going up. But let's assume that you've got a free shipping offer coming on everything. But what do you do in the waiting period and the researching period? Well, what I would suggest there is if you're not doing it on everything on your site automatically, and I would argue you should do this year-round because the economics suggests that you can do it, is you should be offering minimum order free shipping, where when they agree to spend a certain amount, then they should get free shipping on their order. So, for example, Macy's do everyday free shipping on orders over $99, and you guys all know why it's $99 now, don't you? Absolutely, because of the way that the abandonment rate changes as soon as you hit that three-digit number. Now, one of the things about minimum free shipping is that why I think that you should be able to maybe even run this year-round if you possibly can, but certainly in advance of your major free shipping offer, is you should be able to make the economics work so that it pays for itself. So one of the unexpected benefits of running minimum order free shipping is it tends to drive up an increase in the average order value. And when that happens, you can potentially use that, in fact, to pay for part of or all of some of the shipping costs. Now, the way to do this is really what you need to do is you need to calculate your minimum order value free shipping threshold. Once you've got that, then you're in a position to then go and argue with the finance team or whoever it is that holds the purse strings, then the fact that above that threshold, you really should therefore be able to offer minimum order free shipping, particularly if you can count on an increase in average in cart value as well when that kicks in. So I would suggest minimum order free shipping is really, really important. Another reason on the next slide as to why that is that there was a study done at the end of last year which showed that 47% of consumers would never or hardly ever buy products at full price. And remember, full price includes the cost of shipping and handling. So, in fact, if you offer minimum order free shipping at $99 and they were going to spend $100 anyway, then they're getting a special promo, and the switch has flipped, and they go, oh, fantastic, yeah, I'm getting the deal. Okay, I feel good about this. If they're just below the threshold, and then they're able to just maybe get above that threshold and get the deal, then they can solve the problem themselves that way. This is a great segue to start looking at promo codes as well. So on the next slide, I've got an example here of how Macy's are using the checkout box as a way of promoting promo codes. Now, that may seem counterintuitive because I'm sure many of you have thought long and hard about how you can bury the promo code box on the checkout pages, because here you're on the cart summary page. You don't want to promote the promo code box, but you want to make it easy to find for customers who've got a promo code. We don't want to encourage them to leave the site and disappear to go Google for one, but on the other hand, if they've got one, we want to make it easy for them to use it. Now, Macy's take a different approach, and I really like this, and I'm astonished that this is not used more widely in e-commerce, because this is really, really simple to do. Rather than burying it, in great big letters, they say, have a promo code? If you've got one, fantastic, put it in here. If not, get one here. And there's a link on the get one here to a page which then tells them about all the promo codes that are currently active. Really simple. Now, the reason that they did that was because they wanted to keep it on the site and not go off and Google and find affiliate code, and then the visitor clicks through the affiliate link, comes back onto the site, and before you know it, Macy's has now paid an affiliate fee to somebody when in reality they had sourced the traffic themselves. So they've now given away margin points they didn't want to do. But the net result of this is that it also makes Macy's look like a really good brand, because they're very consumer-friendly. You know, they're going to tell you about all the current promotions on the site, so they're going to help you to get the best deal. Before we move on to the next slide, just have a look and notice there about the site-wide free shipping on $99 with a flash reminding you in the cart that you're there. Really simple to do, nice technique, just reminds you that if you're below that $99 threshold, that's what you need to do to get the free shipping. Because that cart abandonment, that cart summary page is a massive abandonment page. That's where a lot of people will bail, where they see the total order value presented, including shipping and handling, for the first time. If we go on to the next site, that link that I was talking about takes you through to this page, which is Macy's on-site promotions page. And it's at this point they list out all the promo codes which are valid on the site. Really simple to do. You can set one of those up, get it up and running, and have it done, within a week, something like that. So certainly well in time for peak season. And Macy's get a 40% conversion rate of visitors who come to this page. In fact, they promote this page on their homepage in a scrolling banner because they want to bring customers into this page, because they know it's a very high converting page. If somebody finds a promo code for a particular product category, they're more likely to therefore make a purchase from that category. Go back to the 47% of people who won't make that purchase without finding a promo code, except in exceptional circumstances, and you can see why that works so well. Now, it might be worth just spending a moment just thinking about what are those exceptional circumstances. 47% won't purchase except in exceptional circumstances. Well, those exceptional circumstances are specifically where they feel the deal is going to get away. So there's limited availability, there's a scarcity. And in the run-up to the holiday season, that's particularly important. Remember the three phases, the waiting, the researching, and then the buying phase. In the researching phase, there's a balance there. There's a balance between, I don't want it to run out of stock, I don't want to find that I cannot get the gift that I want to be able to get, but at the same time, I want to be able to get it at the best price. Another reason for rolling out those minimum order free shipping offers earlier if you possibly can, and making promotions and promotion promo codes much more available. It also leads you on to what to do on the product detail page. And on the next slide, you'll see an example of that. On the product detail page, this is a great place to basically explain, if you possibly can, and obviously this may be a limitation of your e-commerce platform, how many remain in stock. And this is important because as soon as the customer sees scarcity of product, then something changes. It's a primeval instinct of not letting the deal get away. It probably goes back to when we were all cavemen. Well, our ancestors, I should say, not all of us are cavemen. When our ancestors were cavemen, you know, and the bison was killed, then if you got to the kill quickly, then you got to feed your family. If you got to the kill late, there was nothing left apart from bones and skin, and then as a result, you didn't get to feed your family. So as soon as the deal looks like it might get away, then psychologically a switch trips in our head, and we think, oops, I got to get that deal. I want to get the deal over the next guy. You know, get the elbows out. I need to get there. So scarcity is a really important message, particularly around holiday season time, and therefore making sure the deal doesn't get away is important. So on this slide, I'm also suggesting you should check the product detail page. And whilst you may not have time for a site redesign, making product images bigger, rewriting product detail, etc., putting your phone number on there, that's a nice simple one to do. All these things are important and have been proven, including at FansEd but in other places, to increase sales by using that kind of an approach. Clearly, if you put the product availability on there, as there's only limited availability, that's very relevant too. However, I have a specific recommendation for you. If you go into your web analytics products and select some data which will allow you to then extract it out and build a spreadsheet which ranks your top abandonment products. So what you're really looking to try and do is you're looking for frequently carted products which are then frequently abandoned. So effectively you want to calculate the abandonment rate for every single one of your products. If you do that, what you'll find is that there are some standout exceptions that you should look at. And these are problem products where you should then go and investigate and look at the specific product detail page and try and understand why is it that that product is being abandoned much more than others. There's no simple way to explain this. You just have to go and look at it, and then it becomes kind of obvious. If you look at it just at an order value level, a product value level, you can have two products, both at $49.99, one which gets abandoned 98% of the time, and another which gets abandoned only 30% of the time. And a lot of it is down to the way that the product detail page is laid out. So not specifically the layout elements, but specifically the copy and the copy elements that are in there. What do the descriptions look like? You know, what are the shipping and handling conditions for that particular item? You know, is it a particular bulky item? Therefore, you know, are there other things that we can do to help alleviate that? Should we put free shipping on this product if you can do that with a special promo code? Those kinds of things can be done to solve the particular problem products. Obviously, very relevant to higher value products and high abandonment, high frequently carted high abandonment products. Now, you may well already, if you look on the next slide, be doing a weekly page performance review or monthly page performance review where you're looking at the revenue generated from each of your pages. You can do that very simply using your e-commerce section and your web analytics tools. These guys, TightPlease, set up a hosiery site, and they found that in one of their monthly page reviews that one of their pages was just not performing in the way that it used to. And they couldn't understand what it was. It wasn't until they actually looked on the site, they found, in fact, it wasn't a product detail page, it was on a category page, but they found a simple spelling mistake for the word tights. And given that they are tights, please, that's pretty fundamental. But the loss of credibility meant that that had a dramatic impact on revenue. They fixed the spelling mistake, and that resulted in an 81% lift in revenue for that page. So simple errors like that can very easily be spotted if you do a page review. It's well worth doing a page review of your top sites, your top key pages in the run-up to the Christmas period. Also, it's worth checking as well about language. If you're in the fashion business, then if you say things like, this was featured in the spring fashion shows of 2011, then that's going to date the product very specifically, and that can have a negative impact on conversion as well. So check about context and the way that the product is described to make sure that you're not consigning it to the dustbin early simply because you're referencing something which is now out of date. Also, when you're reviewing those product detail pages that we said earlier on, you can think about additional content that you can put in to help on that. Okay, so let's look at, on the next slide, at mobile optimization. Now, as you all know, mobiles cause us huge challenges because, of course, we have fat fingers and little screens. And the combinations of fat fingers and little screens mean that they're a very high, you get a very high abandonment rate. Now, this heat map also shows where people's attention goes on these screens. And this is very relevant for when people are researching or even trying to purchase on the screen. In particular, the attention tends to be in the top left-hand corner. Now, given the small real estate on these screens, then that obviously has an impact in the way that you design your pages on your mobile stores. Given a very high abandonment rate, we also need to recognize, and if we go on and look at the next slide, then that people will are going to abandon unless we can do some things differently. We've got to make payments a lot easier. So, for example, PayPal can show a dramatic improvement in actually making the purchase on the mobile device. Equally, if they've got an account, making it very easy for them to log into their existing account and remember the fact on their mobile device, make purchase really easy from that point of view. Also look at the clickability of links. I have big fat fingers. And it is very difficult, but make sure those links are easily clickable, which gives them lots of separation, and that may mean reducing the content, taking out links to make it much easier, to make it easy to navigate around the site. I would generally advise people to focus their efforts on mobile sites, not apps, and that seems to be the way that most consumers are going. If they're going to make a purchase, they want to do a purchase on the full site. It's one of the reasons why the abandonment rate is still very, very high at 97% on mobile devices is because mobile sites don't necessarily have the full functionality, or they don't feel secure about the payment methods, and therefore they want to do it on the full machine. Think also about your calls to action in the context of the heat map I was just showing you. When you think about how the calls to action appear on the page, you know, are they effectively above the fold? Are they within the eye scan? Are they easy to see? All those sorts of things are really important. And also think about remarketing, because if you've got a 97% abandonment rate, then it's kind of really obvious that if you can capture an email address or ID the individual and remarket to them, then you could then say, well, here's a link back to your online cart so that when you're back at your machine, your desktop machine, then you can easily finish up the order. So let's just look very quickly at how remarketing works, and that's the fifth and final recommendation really in this run-up to the holiday season period, is that the economics of remarketing are really phenomenal. If you look at what happens, 7 out of 10 people on average, 85% in the run-up to Cyber Monday, are going to abandon, so it's a very high number of people. And if you can capture an email address or retarget them through retargeted advertising, then you can get a significant proportion back. If you send a sequence of remarketing emails, you should be able to get 1 in 4, 1 in 5 back, something like that. So that is a very significant number, and that's low-hanging fruit, really, for you, because that's something which is very easy to add. On the next slide, you'll see the impact and where it impacts, and what this tells you is that timing is really critical. If you do nothing, a certain proportion will come back anyway, but the vast majority don't, and you can get an 18% incremental lift from doing remarketing. But you'll see that the first few hours, in fact, the first 12 hours are the most critical hours. 72% of those who are going to buy when remarketed will come back within the first 12 hours. So that's a critical period. If you want to see what a typical remarketing campaign might look like, then I've put one on the next slide, which you can see, just to give you a flavor. Something like this would work very well, a sequence. When somebody puts something in their cart, a sequence of follow-up emails, maybe first one going out in real time. You've seen the graph, you understand why. Maybe a second nudge just at about the 24-hour mark, and the third nudge at around about the 7-day mark. And then finally on the next slide, I constantly get asked the question, well, why don't more brands do that? You know, why don't they do remarketing? Because most brands don't. And in fact, if you look at it, what happens is most brands just subscribe you into the house list so that you're going to get into the marketing program. And frankly, I can tell you now that this is totally suboptimal. If you do something which is a one-to-one approach where it's really very much related to the items that they were browsing on the site or carted, and then you follow up directly, you'll see an order of magnitude difference in conversion rate as a result. So capturing an image of the product that was carted and sending the email out immediately are really critical elements of success. Okay, so that was a phenomenal amount of detail. Hopefully that has been useful. What I'm going to do now is throw it back over to Melissa to run the Q&A section. And if she can just put up there my photograph, everyone can see who's talking. I'd be more than happy to take any questions from the audience.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Charles. That was a great presentation. I really appreciated all the real-world examples you gave. I know that's really what our listeners really want to see. They want to see real examples, so that was great. We do have about 9 minutes for questions, so if anyone has any, please send them away. But I have a question just to start us off, and that is you gave such a great breadth of information today, Charles. I mean, what is, like, the one thing that you think listeners should do to eliminate, you know, as much as possible shopping cart abandonment just in time, you know, for the holidays coming up? Is there sort of one thing that they should do immediately that's most important, in your opinion?
I'm going to be greedy, and I'm going to have to. I'm sorry. You want one, I'm going to have two. And the reason is because there's one really to stop them from abandoning in the first place, and the other of which is you can try and recover them. And I think the two things, so to try and stop them from abandoning in the first place, then if you can, offer free shipping. Offer free shipping from Labor Day onwards, and you will sell a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
You've obviously got an argument to have with your finance director as to how you're going to fund that, but, you know, you will spread out your holiday purchases in doing that, and you'll reduce your abandonment overall. Many of your competitors are going to be offering free shipping anyway, and they're going to be doing it later on in the cycle. So if you can't do it, then free shipping is the one to focus on. That's the number one reason why people abandon. And the second one is remarket, because even if you do that, you're still going to have a lot of people who are not yet ready to buy. And because they're not yet ready to buy, if you nudge them, a sequence of gentle nudges afterwards, you will get them back to your site more than going back to somebody else's site, and you'll get them back to buy. So I would say those two key things, not the one, sorry, are the things to focus on as the low-hanging fruit.
Yep, definitely. We do have a couple questions. One, which I think is a good one, is what's a good way to encourage new email subscriptions during the abandonment process? I've actually heard that's a trend, because we cover a lot of email marketing at our other publication. Do you have any thoughts on that? Or, you know, I guess that's a good idea in general.
Yes. I could run a webinar just on techniques for capturing email addresses. But basically, the way to think about this is that the earlier that you can capture the email address in the shopping cart process, then the better, because the more people you'll have in your remarketing program. And if that has any impact on, and it may have none, but if it has any impact on your cart abandonment, it may mean that more people abandon slightly earlier because you're asking for an email address earlier, then that will be more than outweighed by the increase in revenue you get back from having more people in your program. If you think about email remarketing for a moment, then let's say you only have 100 people in your program because you're capturing only 10% of those that are going through the checkout process, something of that nature. That may generate, let us say, $1,000 for you, just to keep it simple. If you can increase your rate so that you capture 100, then your $1,000 will immediately go up to $2,000. It's as simple as that. It's a linear kind of equation.
Mm-hmm.
So the position of the email address is really important. The second thing that you can do is that you can use an exit slider or an exit light box when somebody goes to abandon one of those critical pages, such as the cart summary page, or even the checkout pages, where an email address has not been captured. And at that point, if they go to exit, you can then say, well, would you like us to send you a link back to this page so you can find it again easily? So very much taking a customer service point of view, that can double the number of people where you capture email addresses for. It's a very, very effective technique.
Wow, that's
so those,
great.
Those two I would use.
Mm-hmm. Those are great, real hands-on examples. Another listener has what sounds like a good idea. On the shopping abandonment page, is it a good technique to compare prices on the page to other vendors or other sites, or other listings of products that you're buying? Does that help at all?
Well, I think that really depends on who you are and who you're, and what your brand is and what your brand stands for. If you are a price-oriented brand, and the reason that a customer will come to you and purchase from you specifically is because you're the price leader, then absolutely that can be useful to do.
That's true.
If, on the other hand, you're much more about service, you're offering free returns, you're offering max satisfaction, et cetera, and your value proposition is your brand proposition is completely different, then no, you don't want to go there. So it depends upon your brand.
That makes a lot of sense. You've been covering shopping cart abandonment for many, many years, and you did go over a bunch of stats earlier. But just in your opinion, just sort of anecdotally, do you see shopping cart abandonment as a growing issue? Do you think it's getting better or worse? Do you think more people are abandoning carts or less, just in general over the past, say, 5 years?
Well, over the past 5 years, cart abandonment has gone up, and I think it will continue to rise, really because people have changed their behavior. They've changed their behavior, and they're storing things for later purchase whilst they shop around looking for a better deal, until they're ready to buy. I think certainly over the next few years it's going to continue rising simply because as more people are doing more research online, on mobile devices, in particular tablets, and putting things into their cart for later purchase on their desktop or laptop, then I can only see it going up.
Right.
So whilst we can make improvements to tablets in particular or the tablet experience so that more people feel comfortable purchasing on a tablet, the reality is that abandonment rate is still very high, and that's going to drag the overall rate up. So I think this is going to be a continuing problem for those two reasons, part of which is, the changing consumer behavior.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So they're more likely abandoning just to do more research and then might come back, whereas in the past they may have abandoned because they were sort of scared and they just decided they didn't want to buy it at all. So,
well, absolutely. And, last year was a pretty tough year from a price point of view. I mean, it was pretty brutal holiday season because it was tough economically. And this year maybe is slightly better, but it's still going to be hard, and consumers are going to be shopping around for a deal.
Yep.
If you go back to the economist's view of the perfect market, one of the things about the perfect market was perfect information, where the economist said, well, of course, in our ideal world and our economic models, if everybody can get access to information really easily to compare prices, for instance, then that is going to have an economic effect. And you can see that happening absolutely in the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, I guess on that note, it looks like we're just about out of time for today. So on behalf of Retail Online Integration and our sponsor, Stevo Systems, I want to thank you very much for attending today's webinar. I also would love to thank Charles Nichols for a great presentation. As mentioned in the beginning of our presentation today, as an added bonus for webinar attendees, Stevo Systems has recorded an additional 20-minute webinar to give you that extra leg up on your holiday planning. This session is called Reducing Shopping Cart Abandonment, and you can access it via the link listed on your screen right now. If you don't have time to watch it at the moment, we'll also send you a link to it in our post-event follow-up tomorrow. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. Hope to see you at the next Retail Online Integration webinar.